Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
The quintessential American story is about the hometown girl or boy who makes good. The story of Oprah and even Barack Obama, seizing opportunities, creating a better life for themselves through hard work, talent, and determination. And even if you never achieve world fame or sat behind the desk in the Oval Office, the average American, in years past, was able to improve his or her standard of living one generation at a time. But many things were lost during the Great Recession, and this land of opportunity story is one of them. According to census data, 47 million Americans now live below the poverty line. That's the most in half a century. And the BBC's Hillary Anderson went to Las Vegas to talk to some of the middle-class Americans who've slipped into poverty, like Rick.
Work really dried up. I mean, it really dried up bad.
Rick used to be an auto repairman. He had a nice house, a hot tub, three bedrooms. But he had to sell when he lost his job.
Just couldn't live off of what they gave anymore, so I tried to find any job, and nobody was hiring.
Rick wasn't eligible for unemployment, so he moved his family to a trailer park. That was the worst, he says. Then he picked up some part-time work and moved yet again. The new place is better than the trailer, but his sons say it's still not as good as their original home.
Only time I think that there's been something wrong was like about 4 months ago when they had a gang shoot off over there.
What do you think about it?
Well, I don't really like it here because there's like a lot of bad people over here, like gangsters, drug dealers.
Rick's wife Marjorie says the hardest part for her hasn't been the new neighborhood or the loss of security. It's knowing that she can't provide even the basic necessities for her children. The stress of the move had a terrible impact on their daughter, Leilani.
We had to take her to the hospital because she was having, they said she had like a starting of an ulcer. So evidently she was worrying.
You don't talk about it. Too painful.
I don't want my kids to grow up and be kids. I don't want them to have to dwell on and worry about grown-up stuff. Mm.
So what does the future hold?
I just hope that we get it into a house at some point, you know, have some freedom and space. Like the other day, my son, he said, can I get a haircut? And we told him you have to wait. Something as simple as a haircut. I don't want to have to worry about that.
It's been hell, literally hell, but a couple times. I mean, I really wanted to kill myself. I didn't want to live this life anymore.
Rick's kids go to the Whitney School, where half of the students are homeless. At the Whitney, the school provides meals not just for the school day, but for the weekend as well. Kim Butterfield is a teaching assistant at Whitney. She says her students are clearly hungry and desperate.
I work in the cafeteria for lunch duty, and a lot of times I would see children putting ketchup packets in their pockets, lots of them, to take home. For what they do is they add a little water to them and make ketchup soup. And just noticing that the kids were very hungry all the time.
Without those free school meals, many of these kids wouldn't have anything to eat. Instead of talking about TV shows or music or Facebook, these kids talk about food and how it feels to be hungry.
We don't have any dinner at home.
How often does that happen?
Well, it's already happened 5 times.
How has that felt?
Wow. Well, it felt kind of weird because it felt like I was kind of getting dizzy one time.
And like Rick's kids, the rest of the students at the Whitney also worry for their families. 8-year-old Steven says he tries hard in class, but he can't stop thinking about his pregnant mother.
We don't have enough money to get the food for the baby. I feel real sad for it. So that's why my mom thinks we're going to give it to adoption. But I'm not sure if it costs money, and the good thing about it, my mom gets to choose who it is.
Another student, Leslie, is 6, but without the bubbling energy we often associate with first graders. In hushed tones, Leslie describes what appeared on her dinner table one night.
My mom ate rats.
Eating rats? Is that something that You eat a lot, or it just happened once?
Once.
It just happened once? Was that because she ran out of food? Yeah. How did that make you feel?
But in this election year, poverty is less a story about Leslie or the rest of the students at the Whitney School, and more of a political football in a high-stakes game, and the severity of the problem often gets underplayed. Here's Robert Rector, a senior fellow at the Conservative Heritage Foundation.
If you ask those same families, did your children have enough to eat, the overwhelming bulk of them will say yes.
Sherry Gahn is principal of the Whitney School. She says being poor for her students means they can't perform well in class.
The dream here is that these children will be on the same level playing field as any other child in America. We know that doesn't happen because they're in such survival mode and they can't possibly learn because they're not thinking about learning. They're thinking about their shoes hurting or where they're going to go to sleep at night or if they're going to have a place to sleep at night or their tummies are grumbling.
All of this may seem like a painful change in American society, the awful aftermath of a severe recession and housing crisis. But the road to hunger and poverty was begun decades ago. And perhaps the recession merely exposed some uncomfortable truths about America, that if you're born into poverty, it's very difficult to escape it. Jeffrey Sachs of Columbia University says the U.S. is in denial about this simple reality.
America now has, by many standards, the lowest social mobility of all of the high-income countries, meaning that a child born into poverty is likely to grow up as a poor adult. And this is stunning for a country that not only prides itself as being a middle-class society, but as the society where anyone can make it and where social mobility is so high.
There is more economic inequality in the U.S. now than at any other time since the Great Depression. Americans may have thought they left breadlines behind, but over the past few years, tent cities have sprung up again in and around at least 55 American cities. One of those is a tent city in Lakewood, New Jersey, which was found by the Reverend Steve Brigham, who joins us now. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Celeste. It's a pleasure.
You know, I hear those comments from those kids just now, and these must be the kind of stories that you see in your tent city all the time. And it really puts in perspective for me the political rhetoric when we talk about perhaps, you know, I'm not trying to pick on poor Mitt Romney, but it was an example of other political rhetoric. I'm not concerned about the very poor because we have a social safety net to help them. And you see stories every day that say that that's not true.
Yeah, there's individuals in the camp. They're coming down all the time. It's a lot of builders right now, masons and carpenters and small contractors that just can't find any work out there. And, they honestly want to find some type of work that will support their cost of living, their cost of housing.
And why did you end up having to build this tent city in the first place? Is there no place in Lakewood, New Jersey?
Well, there's no place in Lakewood, and there's no place in Ocean County. There's no shelters here. And so the closest one is Atlantic City Rescue Mission, and they're overcrowded on a continual basis. There is no real options in this area for the homeless.
The people that live in your tent city, what kind of families are these? And I understand that many of them are families. We have seen a lot of middle-class families falling into poverty. Is that what you've seen as well?
There's a couple of father and sons. There's no children below 18. We've had somebody 18 years old, a woman. But, no children in the camp at the present time. But there's a lot of people that were good, hardworking people before the recession hit that are now in Tent City.
And what do they tell you about their plight? I mean, do they talk more about the difficulty in finding a job? Do they blame anybody in particular for the situation that they're in?
Well, they would love to have a job. It's just that there is no jobs in the building industry out there right now. It's just almost totally collapsed. And so they're good, hardworking people. And it's just a very difficult system. You know, they want to work. They really don't want to take, government help if they don't have to. But they realize that the safety net really isn't there like they thought it was.
Well, you yourself, Reverend Steve Brigham, your solution to the problem that you saw in front of you was to create this tent city for people to come to who are homeless. What's the national solution, do you think?
Well, I think it's affordable housing, true affordable housing, maybe not even subsidized, but just small houses on small pieces of property. And I think that'll solve a lot of the problem.
Okay. Reverend Steve Brigham is the founder of A Tent City in Lakewood, New Jersey. It's a village for homeless people there. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. It's awesome.
I want to give a big thanks to our producer, Alex Collins, for the poverty segment. And we also want to hear from you. How does the economic picture look where you live? John from Wisconsin wrote this to thetakeaway.org. In my opinion, poverty is all about capitalism. Because of capitalism, large concentrations of capital are in the possession of a very, very small minority. What's your view on capitalism or poverty or the economic situation in your neck of the woods? Call us at 877-8MY-TAKE or at thetakeaway.org. From WGBH in Boston, I'm John Huckenberry.
And from New York, I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.